Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Cooking Like a Pro. You have found us, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista. You know, we have to just real quickly give a shout out to John Elias Castellari. If that just that rocking intro that we have. Oh, it's great, huh? I can just almost
it sounds like play a national news.
Yeah, rocking. He's on top of it. Yeah, yeah. Go online, you can find him. Hey, anyway, welcome to Cooking Like a Pro. You found us here at 1460 AM KNCR, and if you're an FM person, 96.5. And if you'd like to send a question in, a couple ways to do that. One would be to give us a holler on a thing they call the phone. I actually found someone with a landline earlier today.
My mom still has a landline.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's a rare breed.
In the Midwest, they still have these things called phone booths.
They still have phone booths?
Yeah, they still have phone booths. Wow. But anyway, you have found us, and you can give us a holler down here. Ben would be happy to take your call and take your question, and that's going to be a 530-605-4567. Again, 605-4567. Or you can just type one in if you're a typing person and you got small fingers and can do that. I have a hard time texting, but
there is indeed a chat, and I would be happy to take calls.
Also,
it's National Indian Pudding Day.
Wow, I wish I'd have known. I wish I'd have showed up prepared for that. National Indian Pudding. I'm guessing it's like a rice pudding. Okay, so if we have time, let's go into detail.
Okay,
I'll
start Googling.
My wife's Googling it across from the table. But anyway, it's cooking like a propodcast.net. If you'd like to type something and send it to us again, cooking like a propodcast.net. So if you're out there listening, anybody, Dave or anyone like that, John, just give us a holler. We are going to be talking about, Thanksgiving. So we got a bunch of Thanksgiving stuff to cover.
Cause we've got 2 weeks to get ready.
Yeah. And now's the time to prep. Yes.
So you can't wait till the week of. You can't wait till the day before. You got to get it going now.
Well, that's what makes the, well, first off, there's good and bad anxiety. You know, the bad anxiety is stressing out that you're going to get it done. The good anxiety is just being excited about it, right? So I think that's what we want to look at. And we want you to be prepared, folks. So again, if you have any questions on Thanksgiving, food or anything related to the industry, again, give us a holler or send us a question. But, before we get into Thanksgiving, this has been on my heart. Well, heart's wrong word. It's been on my mind. Okay. But on my mind about, something that I used to hear all the time when I was coming up in the business, but I, never experienced it. I kind of always knew it was out there. So I must have come across it in a textbook or something at some point, but it's called truth and menu laws. Truth and menu laws. So basically you can't lie on your menu. You know, you can't exaggerate. You can't do, you know, you have to be truthful.
You need to represent.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this, right?
I'm thinking, but I'm not sure. I wasn't.
Yeah, so after the show last week, me and my adorable wife went and had a meal here in town someplace, and I've always gone there for the same thing, the Cajun Asiago burger, and I just never thought about it. I've always gone there for it. It's, you know, and I hadn't been there in a while. I guess their menu just changed, and without naming the place, but I'll tell you. The reason I got the Cajun Asiago burger was because it was a half-pound burger, which 16 ounces in a pound, half a pound, 8 ounces. And I ended up getting like a quarter, well half of that. So it's like 4 ounce burger patty. And I mean, I asked for it medium. Well, they asked. It's one of the things I think, if I was a server, I think I would not ask a guest how they wanted something cooked unless they knew the cook could do it. So anyway, medium rare or medium, it comes out well done, of course, but it's so small. And I was like, I look on the menu and they had just taken the weight off of it.
They had changed it.
But it was still $22 for a hamburger. And I mean, you know, hamburger's not $12 a pound. So, you know, if it's whatever it is, say $8-$9 a pound, maybe at the most for 80-20, you know, beef to fat ratio.
Well, but thankfully my salad was to order. My salad was beautiful.
Your salad was great.
I tried to share it with you because you were disappointed with your burger.
Well, yeah. Anyway, I don't know. You know, yeah. And again, and that's why I got to the truth of menu loss, because when you order something, you expect it. So you're driving down the freeway. And I remember, you know, a couple of years I was corporate chef for Black Bear Diner, kind of when they were not in the infancy, but it was, you know, whatever.
Starting to take off.
Over a decade ago. Anyway, so, one of the things we did was I was responsible for putting together the food that they would take a picture of that they would put on the billboards on the side of the freeway. You know, and how many times do you look at that? And again, you could look at it on a menu at Denny's, who, to be honest, I mean, they...
Is Denny's even still around?
I think so. But they invented the whole idea of having pictures on their menu because they were on, you know, corridors.
Yeah, Denny's and IHOP. Yeah.
So people could just point at it and then, you know, and not have to really know the language or the whatever and know that they were supposed to get something that kind of looked like that. But they're supposed to actually get something that looks just like that. So I think it should be principled. You know, when you order something and you look on the menu and you read it, and it has this just wonderful, amazing, you know, it's drizzled with this and napped with that and presented this way and has this, and then you get it and it's just disappointment.
Well, so I had this question for you.
Don't you expect it? Okay.
A few days ago when I'm watching the Burger King commercial, the flame broiled Whopper, and I'm like going, do they really look like that? Are they really flame broiled? Grill marks like that?
I don't think they could get, with the truth of menu laws, I think they would have to be flame broiled, but, you know, I still don't think they don't look like that. And again, I think that it's, you know, when you're talking about truth of menu laws, you know, it just can't be misleading. But I have never heard of anybody actually being, you know, prosecuted for it. Well, okay, I'm sorry, I have.
Well, there is a law.
Yeah.
I mean, it is.
Well, you know, I don't know. I can't remember if I ever told you this one, but there was this restaurant down in the city in San Francisco, and I have this recipe, and it's a great recipe. You know, scratch this down or think about it and put it in your memory, but lock it in there. But you pound out chicken breast super thin with a mallet that has, you know, indentions on it, so you're breaking it up, break the skin up good. And then you marinate it for 72 hours in clam juice.
Abalone.
Lightly bread it, and you cook this chicken, and it tastes like abalone.
Mock abalone.
Look, mock abalone. Well, there was this guy that was
it as abalone.
As abalone, mock? and that's a federal offense because of the cost of abalone. So I don't know how many years he got, but anyway, so that was the only time I'd ever heard of somebody actually, you know, going to the big house for it. But when you expect something and it's misleading, you get something else, because, you know, we're looking at quality and then quantity. You know, you look at it, there's this pile of whatever it is, french fries or something, from price to the, just the identification. And things like point of origin comes into play with, you know, oysters, clams, you know, like where were they actually harvested?
Well, like a Maine lobster, but, you know.
Well, I hope it's from Maine. Yeah, it better be. Well, cold water. I still prefer Australian, but we can talk about that. But, you know, merchandising, but just the principles of it, you know, is really the five principles of just a menu would be balance, the nutrition, the variety, and then really just the beauty. We call it the aesthetics, right? So, the appreciation of the beauty of it. And to me, so much of that comes down to ambiance. And I think that's one of the main reasons people go out. They want to get away from the house, but unfortunately they end up so often being disappointed, and accepting that, right? Oh, it's okay. Maybe it wasn't quite what I wanted. Well, gosh darn it, you're paying for it to be right. You know, I mean, hard-earned cash. You know, it's not just falling off the trees.
Well, it's hard to just get up and go somewhere else and drive across town. You got to try and make those decisions before you get there. And you go online and see, you know, what do they offer? What are your expectations? And if your expectations are set, you would hope that your expectations are met.
And think about the ambiance. where, I mean, when we were, what, a couple weeks ago for anniversary, we're sitting there in that restaurant overlooking the ocean with the seals running and jumping around. I mean, the food could have been terrible, and it still would have been a good experience. Maybe not fantastic like it was, because the food was good, but the ambiance is a big thing. So anyway, we're going to have to take a quick break because we just ran through that one, but we'll be right back, and we are talking about turkey, so you can reach out to 605-4567. Again, that's 530-605-4567 with turkey questions. We'll be back in just a moment. Cooking Like a Pro podcast on KCNR, 1460 AM. Cheeseburger in paradise. Heaven on earth is on your slice. Not too particular, not precise. Not just a cheeseburger in paradise.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Smoke and sap, dirt and grime, leaves and pollen, and even bugs. Just a few things that can possibly damage your vehicle's paint over time, causing it to pit, fade, and oxidize, basically ruining your paint job. Quick and Clean Car Wash can help. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading invites you to stop by and enjoy their all-cloth car wash, where they take the time to pre-wash and hand-scrub your car or truck. Quick and Clean Car Wash also offers car wash packages. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe potatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim frim sauce with the Oz and Bay wish of on.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Cooking Like a Pro podcast, Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista. And we just like to thank Charlie's Tap House for sponsoring Cooking Like a Pro podcast, making it possible for us to be here. They are located in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center, about 10 minutes south of town, one of the very few family-run restaurants that are in the area. And you know, open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner. They got pizza, pasta, crisp salads. I want them in the gelato. Charlie's down there making just authentic gelato. And it reminds me of when I was in Italy, go to Vivoli's. I think it was Vivoli's gelato. But anyway, so go on down there, enjoy the gelato, enjoy the incredible beer wall, everything from frosty ales to IPAs, porters and ciders, and really just the best deal in town. So they got a rewards program, so I would definitely look into the rewards program and get amazing deals and great bargains for the whole family. So save time and takeout, always available, charlews.com. Just go ahead and go to charlews.com. Tell them Chef Cal and Mrs. Chef Krista sent you. So Thanksgiving, we didn't make it. So we kind of thought, we actually requested and, or asked, I don't know how you do that on the internet, but the top 20 questions that people have for Thanksgiving. So the most asked Thanksgiving questions. So I'll let you start, Krista.
Well, the first one we answered last week, and actually I didn't know this either. How much turkey do I need per person?
Yeah, they say a couple different things. Some people say, you know, a pound and a quarter. Some say a pound and a half, because you're only actually eating maybe 6 to 8 ounces of actual weighted protein. but, you know, you've got a carcass. And again, remember that carcass will quit growing larger when it gets around 24 pounds. So if you get a turkey that's, let's say, 26 or 28 or 30, that last 2, 4, 6 pounds are going to yield all protein, all beef. Well, all beef, in this case, all poultry. But yeah.
So the quick math. You're going to do a 24-pound turkey, that's going to serve 12 people.
There you go.
Well, if it's a 12-pound turkey, 10. About 6 people.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I also wanted to bring up about that, and somebody asked me this question yesterday, and it's like, I've got 35 people coming over. What do I do? You know, I got 2 turkeys in my oven, only going to hold 1 turkey. Well, first off, going back to Dean Mercurio's, I used to cook 40 turkeys a day. Me and Antonio would get there at 2 in the morning. Again, Dean Mercurio's restaurant. Maybe chime in if you had a chance to enjoy Thanksgiving dinner back at Dean Mercurio's. But we would cook, you know, just a ton of turkeys, and you got all this dark meat and all this white meat. Well, one of the things that they do a lot now is they'll do one whole turkey, so you have the dark meat, which just like Mom. I was talking to Mom today, and she's like, dark meat. I'm dark meat. Me and Mom are both dark meat.
I prefer
legs
white.
Legs and thighs.
Yeah, I'm starting to like dark, but I still prefer white.
But white, the people just cook it too much and it dries out.
If it's good, if it's not
well,
dry.
Well, that's why we have gravy, right? I mean, you know, I'm making mean gravy, folks. I mean, yeah, you can put my gravy on a shoe and it's still good. But anyway, I'm a dark meat guy. But, you know, but then again, what I was going to say was just cook some breasts. Just buy some turkey breasts. So maybe one whole turkey. And that's going to get your, you know, 10 or 12 people. And then, you know, get 2 or 3 or 4 just breasts. They have them seasoned. They can get them anywhere now. And just roast those off slowly. And the thing about it is you want to pull it out when it's right around 155. Because first off, it's turkey, so you're cooking it at a lower temperature. Right? You're not cooking it at 350 or 400 degrees. You're cooking it down at 3 1/4. So that's what I would do. I would just get some breasts. You can could let them go to their 155, pull them out. They're cooking nice and slow. They carry over cook, same way beef does, lamb, anything else. And then you've got this beautiful moist. There's nothing better than moist turkey. And most of the time you don't get that.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't know how to do it. And well, that's going to be one of our questions, how to make it moist. That's a little further down on the list.
Well, you know, another thing is how long it takes to thaw one out. A lot of people don't understand this. And I know we've probably all watched the videos or the YouTube videos of somebody dropping a frozen
turkey into a hot oil.
Yeah, into a deep fried turkey. So, and deep fried turkey is great. If you're going to deep fry your turkey, I think we did it at 4 to 5 minutes per pound. Maybe it was 3 to 4 minutes per pound, but you know, you can always Google that. But boy, it's just, cause the thing about deep fried is it locks everything in. There's, you know, oil and water don't mix, so there's no place for the juice and the flavor to go. So you just get this super moist thing. But here's the key. In Thanksgiving, if you're gonna deep fry a turkey, get yourself 3 or 4 chickens. Just, you know, like 3 pounders, 3.5 pounders, and deep fry those after the turkey. They go, and literally, 12 to 15 minutes, you've got this beautiful cooked chicken with all the flavor inside. Because you got the oil, you've already heated it up. You're probably not going to use it again. And the price of oil is through the
roof.
Yeah. I haven't cussed
so you're saying after you do your turkey, utilize that oil further to cook more chickens.
Hot oil, cook some chickens.
And then cool them down and then bag them up, freeze them for future applications.
Bag them up, freeze them, or just use them the next day. But, you know, you cook them and they're just, that's the best chicken I've ever had. Just deep fry the whole thing. So,
but
they take a long time. Well, yeah, you know, take advantage of the oil, but they do take a long time to thaw. I mean, literally like 4 or 5 days. You know, if it's frozen solid, first off, take it out of the packaging, or at least make a hole where the air in the refrigerator can get to the center cavity, because that's what's going to stay frozen. And then you just dump the moisture out of that and then just let it thaw. But I'd give it the better part of a week.
Now we're talking a true frozen turkey, and we were just talking about this, the difference between a fresh and a frozen turkey. A true frozen turkey is like 0 degrees and below. It is hard as a rock, cold.
Yeah, bowling turkey. You can bowl with
it. Yes, a fresh turkey is transported and stored between 26 and 28 degrees. So technically it's under freezing, and they can be a little icy and not completely thawed. But they are considered considered a fresh. This is that's the legal temperature is 26 to 28 degrees for fresh.
I think that if I got a fresh turkey, I would expect it to be thawed out. I'm just spitballing here. But if I get fresh turkey, if I get fresh anything, I'm not expecting it to be frozen. Now, that's not saying that, fresh and frozen, you know, one is better than the other. To be honest, seafood is better frozen quite often than fresh. If you're getting seafood that's literally froze on the ship, you know, when they get your halibut or your salmon, whatever it is they get, your cod out in the ocean, they go ahead and process it and freeze it there. It's literally hours old compared to something that they catch that's fresh, but, you know, it's 24 hours old by the time you get it.
So yeah, and how long have they, you know, how long have these turkeys been handled? When was their expiration date, so to speak? When did they become Thanksgiving dinner? That's going to make a difference.
I don't know. We got turkeys running around our property. So we will have fresh turkey. And we have chickens running around.
What about thawing it in a brine? If you're going to brine it, do you thaw it before or can you thaw it in the brine?
Thaw it before. Because you want the brine to infiltrate, expand into the protein itself. You've got the skin. So the brine is the one thing about the brine is you can shove that carcass, or that cavity of the carcass full of, you know, herbs and citrus and garlic and all that. And then it just helps expand that flavor throughout there. But brine is really just a saline solution. It's just a salt solution that you put that in. You can have some spices if you want. Most people don't. But it's just really a way of, getting more flavor into it. A lot of the chicken that you buy these days has actually been injected with saline solution. So that's why you might have chicken that already has flavor in the sense of salt.
So timing-wise, we're 2 weeks out from Thanksgiving. We buy our turkey tomorrow, exactly 2 weeks out. How long to thaw, and then how long to brine? So what is our prep time before putting the bird in the oven?
You know, I would, it's going to take, again, you got your 3 to 4, maybe even 5 days to thaw, depending on your fridge, but give it, you know, around 4 days, give or take. And then take, you know, of course, it's out of the packaging, then put it in your brine. And I'd give it 72 hours in your brine. You can go as long as you want. The longer it's in the brine, the more flavor that's going to be, seeped into the protein itself.
Do you rinse a brine after you take it out?
You rinse a turkey. Yeah, you rinse a turkey because a brine is a little bit overly salty, and generally they are. And then you want to go ahead and rinse it off before you cook it. And then
do you rinse it before you brine it?
No. I mean,
take it out of the package.
Well, if you killed it, yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying out of the package, from the freezer section, you open the bag, Now, would you throw like a towel or something? Because you don't want it completely exposed to the air circulating.
Well, you never want anything exposed to air, right? I mean, air is that's certainly, you know, one of the more negative things that you can have because, you know, the air is going to suck the moisture out of it.
So when you were saying to open it up, just take a little, you know, just open up just a little section for that air to get to the inner cavity, you said?
Yeah, well, take it completely. Yeah, when thawing, yes. And then when you're brining it, you want to take it completely out. And now you've got this turkey. It's been brined or not brined. And now we want to oil it, right? It's very important that it's oiled. You baste it. And to be honest, a lot of times I'll see people, they'll season the turkey skin. Well, again, oil and water don't mix. The skin, which is fatty, is going to keep the seasoning from going into the meat. So when we butter our, we talked about compound butter.
That was
right?
Exactly what I was going to bring up.
Take your compound butters and you want to lift the skin up on the turkey and then shove it underneath the skin. And now that skin is going to add all that moisture and protection from, you know, it oxidizing before you cook it and then protect it from the heat while it's cooking, you know, and you're going to end up with something that's just moist and juicy and tender. But if you season the outside of something and it's covered with fat, don't expect that flavor to seep into it.
So what kind of a compound butter would you suggest to put underneath the skin?
For turkey? Oh, well, turkey, here's the one. This is, to be honest, this is the only seasoning you need, okay? I'll put it this way. You're on a desert island. All you got is a turkey in an oven, and you want to cook it. Okay, you only have one seasoning, okay, for Thanksgiving, poultry seasoning. First off, it's in the name, right, because it's poultry. But you use that for your dressing. You can use that, for your gravy. And I would just take, like, a poultry seasoning butter with some fresh thyme and garlic chopped up in it and just, you know, stick that underneath the skin and let it go. But, again, it's that basting of that oil that you want. You want that all the way through the cooking process. So, again, if you have any questions, give us a holler over here. But we are talking here at Cooking Like a Pro podcast about turkey. And I guess we'll do it next week. And Thanksgiving's coming up, folks. Got to be ready. So back in just a moment here on KCNR. Thanks for tuning in. CookingLikeAPro.com.
This is the night. It's a beautiful night. And we call it a bell and order. Look at the skies. They have stars in their eyes. On this lovely bell and order.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro podcast. We appreciate you tuning in. And, God, you know, with Odino coming back in with the wine thing, it just got me thinking, you know, what wine do you serve with turkey?
You know, probably a Chardonnay, maybe?
Yeah, a Chardonnay. You could do that with a buttery if you wanted to do a similar pairing. If you want to do a contrast, maybe something with a little more acid to help cut the fattiness.
Like
of
a
the,
Sauvignon Blanc.
Everything in the meal is fatty, you know. I mean, yeah. So, yeah, Sauvignon Blanc, Viognier, one of your favorites. Viognier.
Yeah. Viognier goes with everything.
Fumé Blanc, which I think there was only one, as far as I know. And that was Robert Mondavi. Yeah, he was an amazing man, amazing man. Gone too soon, but I tell you, he started the wine country, you know, amazing guy. So anyway, turkey. Best way to cook a turkey, generally roasting, but, you know, you're kind of not real limited. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, barbecue, cook on the barbecue. Actually, Dad's going to cook one this week on Thanksgiving this year with the barrel. Dad's going to cook it in the barrel. It's a 55-gallon drum, so then you get that smoky flavor because all the fat drips off of the protein, the bird, and goes in and creates a smoke that comes up. And oh, don't get me started.
Now, I want to know, have you ever spatchcocked a turkey?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know. I've done everything. You know, I mean, we made turducken, and I mean, it's been, you know, I can't remember if I had breakfast, but I've done a lot over the decades. And
well, like when you spatchcock a chicken, but spatchcocking turkey, you got to have a lot of room to spread it out. Yeah.
Well, that's when you want a barbecue, and you'd want that to be the only thing that you're cooking, because first off, you spatchcock it, it's flat, and we used to actually do something similar to that with a game hen. One of my restaurants, called Old School, actually now called Cheesecakes. Go down and visit Cheesecakes. Say hi to Joshua and April and little Luca if you get a chance to go down there. My son, his wife, and my grandson. But you can, what we did at that restaurant was we eviscerated, which is taking the bones out of the cavity. So you had a game hen, which just the leg and the thigh bone, and then you roasted that off, and it was, but it cooked so fast simply because, you know, it was a half a game hen, first off, but it was flattened out and it would cook good, and you could just barbecue it. I mean, it was just, most things you can't barbecue something that's going to take an hour. It's just going to be charred.
Does it cook more evenly when you spatchcock it? When you're not having that big old cavity to deal with, you're opening it completely up and flattening it out.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the reason. Save time. And also add flavor. You know, the cooking process adds flavor, whether you're barbecuing, whether you're searing it, whether you're, I mean, unless you're boiling it, you know, generally it's going to make it, you know, add something.
Now, is that breast down or breast up when you do that?
Both. Always start with the breast down. Start with anything that's not going to stick down first. So you always start with the skin side down. I don't care what that is. If the skin's not on it, start with the side that the skin would have been on it. But deep frying, again, we've done that before. We talked about that earlier. Well, here's one. How do I avoid lumps in my gravy? Well, okay. There's three different ways. Well, okay. There's three main ways of thickening up your gravy. One would be called a whitewash, which is just, you know, milk and flour. And then one would be called a slurry, which is cornstarch and water. And then the last one, of course, is a roux, which is butter and flour. So the flouring, you know, component, of course, is the gluten that's going to thicken it up. If you're doing the gravy, you want to cook some of that stickiness out, right? So you want to make, I'd just make a roux. It's the only thickener that's going to actually add any flavor.
Well, the difference between cornstarch and flour is there's a different texture.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little more clear with the cornstarch as opposed to the flour.
Yeah. But I'd say whisk fast. You know, when you're dumping your thickening agent in, whisk really quickly and dump the, if it's a slurry and it's cornstarch and water, dump it right into a vortex, you know, of the whisk, and just allow it to get mixed up. Because once it turns to a lump, pretty hard to get rid of.
Yeah, don't just take the whole thing and just dump it in.
A little bit of time. There you go. But I would use a roux. You know, equal parts flour and butter. Melt your butter. Add your flour. Let it cook separately in a little pan. So you've cooked out some of that starch, some of that glutenous, and then just add that. And now you're actually adding flavor back to it. Plus, it's not going to get that sticky thing. So, you know, whisk quickly. Whisk constantly would be what I'd say.
Now, the type of gravy I grew up with is we didn't do roux. We didn't do a slurry. There is a product called Wondra. And Wondra is par cooked, and it's very finely ground, so you can actually add it straight without doing a slurry or a roux. It's a different technique. But it's a very specific product that is made for making gravy.
Gravy making 101.
And that's what I grew up with. I never had anything else other than Wondra in my gravy.
And then what is it that you use for the gravy? I mean, you use the stock that came off the drippings from the pan and with the turkey.
Okay.
That's where you get your what this day, one of the things I hear, and I've seen it out there, it's been out for a period of time, not real long, but it's becoming more popular, and that's bone broth. Mm-hmm. And that's what that is. That's all that, was it collagen, marrow, bone marrow? I mean, everything that is gluten, that is gelatinous, that is formed when it cools down, that's that true natural flavor. And actually in the chef business, we always call that, do you remember?
I'm blanking right now.
Liquid gold.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, take it, save it, put it in an ice cube tray, let it freeze, put the cubes in a little bag, and then anytime you're making something with that turkey, fish, beef, whatever that broth was, that bone broth, or that gelatinous flavor. Oh, just
okay,
amazing.
So you take the turkey out. Okay, it's done. It's golden. It's hit temp. It's hit 155. Now it needs to rest. In the meantime, you need to get those drippings. So how do you work that timing and get the fat off the drippings? And then if you don't have enough drippings to make your gravy, then what do you do?
Well, you can use a variety of bases that are out there, turkey base, some things like that. Turkey gravy, maybe a packaged item to help, you know, kind of tighten it up a little bit, add a little more flavor. But no, I think that you generally are going to get, you know, enough. I mean, here's the challenge. The challenge is gravy, you don't look at it like a sauce. A sauce, you might use 2 ounces of sauce because it just goes over the entree, the beef, the fish, the whatever. But for turkey, I mean, you want gravy over everything, right? Your gravy needs to cover the mashed potatoes and seep into the dressing or stuffing, and then the tray. I mean, it's just, yeah, you want.
Now, how long after you pull it from the oven do you let it rest? And when can get the fat off of that, those drippings? Do you let it rest for an hour?
A couple different ways to do it. You can just pour it into a container that's fairly narrow. The fat will always come to the top, and you can just use the back end of a ladle to scoop that out. That's the easiest way. One other way also, this is a little, I don't know if you really do this at home, but I used to do is you take a colander and fill the colander and put the colander in a pot, put the colander inside a pot, and then fill the colander full of ice cubes or crushed ice, and then just dump the stock or your broth over top of that, and all the fat instantly adheres and coagulates to the ice. So now you have a broth with no fat in it.
Then you just lift up the colander and just pull it all out.
Toss that out, and then you got your broth underneath in the pan, then just go and tighten that up.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, it's good flavor, but it's true natural flavor. And again, that's what we're talking about, being able to capture that. You don't want to go into the dish room. Now, as far as stuffing, okay, there's the whole stuffing or dressing. I'm more of a dressing person.
As am I.
Because I can control the dressing. I can control how it's cooking. I control if I want a little brown on top. Once it's stuffed in there, and as I think I mentioned last week, don't ever stuff a large bird with a warm dressing. Never do that. You're asking for sickness. You know, it's just, you don't want to get the inside of poultry up to a temperature in the danger zone, which is where bacteria, you know, multiplies quickly, which is anywhere between 40 and 140, give or take, depending on who you listen to, but stuffing, dressing, stuffing is going to get more flavor because it's cooking inside the cavity of the bird. So, you know.
But wet and dark.
Wet. Maybe they just added too much stock to it, you know, but it's just basically celery, onions, and bread. I'd get a good bread. I'd get a nice sourdough. And again, some poultry seasoning. Go out and get the poultry seasoning, folks. You're going to need it. It will make everything taste like Thanksgiving.
Okay. Fresh bread, making your own croutons, so to speak, as opposed to the bread cubes that are dried at the store in the bag. What do you use to do your stuffing?
Oh, again, yeah, I'd get a good bread and then dry it. You know, we save our bread. I mean, the heels and the end pieces that nobody ever seems to want to eat, although you like the heel.
I do like it, especially sourdough.
Yeah. But just, you take those, you freeze them, and then, you know, once a year you make dressing, you pull them out of the freezer and dice them up and go from there. But sides, all kinds of sides. Mashed potatoes. How to keep your mashed potatoes from coming like glue.
Okay, I've never experienced this, so I don't understand the question. What do you mean by gluey potatoes?
When you overmix and overwhip a potato, that gluten comes out, and you end up with something that you can either... Well, you can do a couple things with it. You can put up wallpaper, and I think you can probably, you know, lay a foundation of bricks or something. It's literally so sticky and gluey. So you just want to get a really good potato, drain it really well, and I like to cook my potatoes... you know, boil them off slowly but whole, because when you dice them up and then you boil them, you've got all that surface area from, you take a potato that's the size of your hand, and now you've diced it up and it's massively expands the surface area, and then you boil that. Now the problem you have is now there's more water in your potatoes. So just drain them well. And let them sit and drain naturally. And then when you whip them up, just don't overmix them. I also like lumpy but mashed potatoes.
And I do not.
And I also like mashed potatoes with the skin on.
Well, okay, so you're getting into a difference between a russet and then a Yukon Gold or a red potato. So growing up, I only had russets. We always peeled them, boiled them, drained them. And then for me, I was the mashed potato person. I was always on that. I used a blender, or not a blender, but a hand mixer.
Yeah.
A hand blender.
Yeah, like you used to make whipped cream or something.
Exactly. But don't add your milk, your cream, your butter until you have fluffed them first.
Yeah.
Once you add that, you're done. You're locked in. You've got lumps.
Yeah.
So I always blend or mix them first.
You know, and another key point that you just brought up is that cream and butter that you're adding needs to be brought up to temperature. You don't want to add it cold. The last thing you want to do is drop the temperature of your potatoes.
So have your melted butter.
Melted butter, warmed up cream, you know, and then your salt, garlic, and white pepper, and it's your, or as we call here, your secret salt.
And you can add it as you go, as you're blending, so that you don't get too much, too little. You can feel it. If you're using a hand blender like I used to, you can feel the texture kind of going through into your hand of how stiff or how thin it is.
Exactly. So you ought to be careful with over whipping your potatoes. Get some good seasoning. Use good butter. Use good cream. And your mashed potatoes will be fine. All right. Cooking like a pro. Taking another quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. You found us on KCNR, 1460 AM radio.
I'm cooking breakfast for the one I love. My baby likes bacon, and that's what I'm making while I'm cooking.
Celebrate Thanksgiving at Black Bear Diner. Skip the hassle and let us cook for you. Enjoy home-style turkey, slow-roasted prime rib, and smoked ham with all the trimmings. Join us Thanksgiving Day for dine-in, carry-out, or delivery. Make your holidays special at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, friends. RC here with this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Don Pepin Original Exclusivos Nicaraguan Puro Corojo Wrapper equals a Don Pepin Classic. Cubanesque in flavor, strength, and size, this is the stick to celebrate your latest victory. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Welcome back. Ooh, the last segment. This show goes by way too fast. You know, I was running around town today. I just want to mention this quick. And I went by to get Remy. Remy is our, was he 90 pounds? 90 pound lap dog.
Something like that.
Yeah, Labrador. And, but I went by Treats, a natural pet marketplace. And God, they do such a great job. Friends of ours that run that, Randy and Debbie Mameo, go by there and say hello to them. I actually got him these chicken stuffed collagen sticks, you know, and I think it's an interesting thing that when children leave the house, you know, kids, pets become the children of the adults.
That's what you spoil.
So you want to spoil your animal, but they got everything there.
What was it? What's the name of their business and where's it located?
Treats. It's over off of Churn Creek. You can find them over on Churn Creek. It's 1726 Churn Creek, and right here in town. So, yeah, go by and tell them Krista said hi. So, other questions. We're not going to we have like two more shows before Thanksgiving.
So yeah, we might have to do an emergency
we might actually get through some most of these. But gravy too thick or thin? That's a good one, because if it's too thick, then just a little more stock. That's all you got to do. It's easy. You know, all you gotta do, you can use water for that matter, but you know, use flavored water, use like a broth, whether it's poultry stock or turkey stock. But if it's too thin, one of the tricks that I've done, especially since potatoes are part of the meal, is you can tighten it up with just a little bit of mashed potato flakes. I can't tell you how many times I've saved a thin soup by having, you know, mashed potato pearls or mashed potato flakes handy. You always want to keep a bag handy. And same with your mashed potatoes. Let's say you add too much cream and butter. Or that for some reason you don't drain them long enough. But anyway, they come out where you want them a little bit thicker.
Yeah, there's too much like
you
soup.
You don't need much. Just a little bit, just to bring it up to temp to get them nice and fluffy.
Now, if they're thin on flavor, what would you do? They're too watery.
Well, the mashed potatoes is going to help, first off, the flavor. But it's, again, it's secret salt. You know,
some more chicken base
and white pepper. Well, you use chicken for the stock. I don't think you'd have that problem with potatoes unless you got a really. Again, I don't make mashed potatoes out of russets. They're just not a good starch content potato to make mashed potatoes. That's why you bake those. But here's another one real quick. Keeping the skin from browning. One of the things, the best thing to do is just cover your turkey with foil. You cover it with foil, and it protects the skin from burning, and then just take that foil off about 45 minutes before you're done, and boom, there you go.
So start with it uncovered or
covered. That's
what I
would do. Yeah.
Start uncovered or covered first?
No, I'm sorry, covered.
Start covered, and then you want to uncover it in the last half hour?
No, I'd give it at least 45 minutes. Yeah, at least. I mean, last thing you want is chewy skin.
Okay, so then how long do you actually, we didn't talk about that. How long do you cook a turkey?
I don't know. Google it.
So it depends upon how many pounds.
Depends on the size. Depends on the oven. Depends on a variety of things. If it's trussed, which is tying the legs together like they do with game hen, and then that closes the cavity a little bit. So that's going to add some cooking time to it. But it's a lot of how many times you open the oven. I can't tell you how many times people just messed up a recipe because they keep opening the oven to look at it. Yeah, just let it cook.
More closed up it is,
yeah,
the more stuffing that's in it, the mm-hmm. bigger the bird, all of that stuff is going to affect the total cooking time.
Yes. And what they have is they have the little pop-outs. And you can actually buy the pop-outs for the temperature for a turkey. You just stick those little things in there, and they'll pop out when they get to 160.
But you said pull it 155, and a lot of times they don't work. There's been so many times they have not popped.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying it's fail-proof. I don't even know who invented it. They're probably rich.
Okay, so if you're going to stick a thermometer, an instant read in it, where are you going to put it?
155. Well, you want to do it the dark meat. So you want to do it down by the thigh.
So you want to go.
Not to cut you off, but that's where the foil really helps out because it helps it cook a little more evenly. But anyway, go ahead.
So you're going to protect the breasts with the foil. Yeah,
exactly. Keep it from overcooking.
And then you're going to check down by the thigh.
Yep, right by the thigh. Right by that bone, the bone where the leg bone goes, the leg bone's attached to the
thigh bone.
Yep, right there. Get your instant read thermometer right there, and you'll be all set.
And you also said the temperature of the oven should be 325?
Yeah, 325 is a good temperature. You don't want to go too fast. You don't want to go too, get too many, molecules jamming in there. So I wouldn't, Three and a quarter is fine. Again, it depends on the oven, the size. So that's why when you say how long it takes, it's just going to come down to the temperature gauge because that's going to tell you what the actual temperature.
Okay, another question is convection ovens.
A convection oven, if you have a convection oven versus a conventional oven, a convection oven just simply means there's a fan in it. And I would cook it, if you had foil on it, you'd probably be okay cooking with the convection on. But when I take that foil off, I would cook it conventional without the fan on.
Because it's going to make it brown even more.
Off, it's going to make the heat circulate. That's why you use a convection oven for making, baking things. So they brown all the way.
And usually you have to drop the temperature like 25, 50 degrees when you turn on convection. Most recipes
it's going to speed it up, the cooking. Yeah. Heat, fan, activity is definitely going to heat that up. This is probably a question that I know this is a Thanksgiving question, but I get this one all the time. This is probably the number one question that I would say I get that people ask me is how do you get all the food together at once? And normal dinner, it's probably not that tough. You just, keep it in a warm spot, keep it by the back of the oven, or keep it in a warm oven. If you have a warming drawer, that's a great way to do it. But for Thanksgiving, you've got like 8 things that all need to be hot at the same time. So, getting them, prepping them, ahead of time, cooking them, bringing them up to temperature last minute, covering them with maybe some plastic or something, to keep them warm, keep them in a warm spot. And, that's about the best thing to do, but that is key. A warming box or a lot of people at home, they might have, and we had warmers, of course, massive warmers the size of a door. So that was never a problem. But at home, yes, you want to make sure you just bring things up at the last second, like we talked about blanching. You blanch your green beans, you get them perfectly cooked, shock them by putting them in ice water to stop the cooking. You can do that the day before. And then the next day, just, 8 minutes before you eat, throw them in a hot pan with some butter and seasoning, bring them up to temperature, you're done.
Actually, I have developed that planning sheet. It's either in the vegetable cookbook or the sauce booklet, so maybe we should pull that out and make that a freebie.
Well, we could do that.
We could do that.
Well, we got that vegetable guide that's going to be coming out sometime in the not too, you know.
And I think another thing you got to pay attention to is, what is overloading your kitchens? Is everything going to be in the oven? Is everything on the stovetop? Is everything going into the Instapot?
Yeah.
You've got to be able to spread things out. Like, this is going to be in the microwave. This will be in the Instapot. This will be in the on the cooktop. This will be out in the barbecue, so that not everything is overloading any one location in your kitchen.
Exactly. I think that's key. You have to work within the space that you have. That's why me and Antonio used to show up at, you know, 2 a.m. start cooking turkeys, you know, at Dean Materials, because we cooked 40 turkeys and we only had the one oven. So you go to cook, it was a big commercial oven, you cook 2 turkeys at a time, but you had to start the turkeys early.
Therefore, you bake your pies or whatever dessert
the day before
because you will not have time in the oven.
Hey, make sure, folks, that you look at your pumpkin pie when you get it, because, you know, there's a lot of pumpkin pies out there that literally don't have any pumpkin in them.
Really?
Yeah. Check it out. You can Google that. We'll talk about it next week. Okay, how about you get a vegetarian show up? Okay, you got a vegetarian showing up for Thanksgiving. What do you do? I mean, you can't lock the door because they're your son's spouse or something like that. So you have to let them in, and they can't just eat the green bean casserole with the cream of mushroom soup in it. I guess that's, you know, and then they have the cranberry sauce, the yams, the potatoes without gravy. But, you know, there's a lot, you know, tofu, there's a lot of things you can do.
You can actually make steaks out of mushrooms.
Mushrooms, bell peppers are all great vegetables that bring a umami.
And cauliflower
savory
steaks.
Flavor.
Yeah.
So there's options out there, too. But we talked about the best wine to serve. That was the next question here. Something white. But then again, what you drink. So if you like red, then drink red with turkey. I mean, the wine police aren't going to, you know, show up at your house. And
I mean, I would probably, if you do a red, go to a Pinot or a Merlot, something a little more mild.
Yeah, a Pinot goes okay with poultry. I mean, I'm a red wine drinker, but you know, I'm Italian, so you know, it kind of wine is always been a part of it. Okay, how to store leftovers? First off, this is crucial, and the main thing about leftovers, folks, is cool them down quickly and safely, as quick as possible. You want to get everything down to about 70 degrees within 2 hours of cooking it. Once dinner is over. So, you know, that's probably 2.5 hours. And then you can put it in the fridge, but never put anything in the refrigerator hot. And if you open up the fridge the next day and you've got something covered, your gravy is covered with plastic and there's condensation underneath it, then you put it in there too hot. And that's gonna do is keep that item, in this case, gravy, at the improper temperature in the danger zone for bacteria growth between 40 and 140, and it's also going to warm up the rest of the fridge, so everything else in there is going to be warm.
Well, and you're going to have a lot of bulk items. Hopefully everything got eaten, but you can spread it out, put it into smaller containers.
No, you got to have leftovers. Thanksgiving is about leftovers and college football. You know,
okay, well, so real quick, since we're out of time, what is your favorite leftover for turkey?
Oh, God, there's so many. But I tell you, one thing, I like taking the leftover dressing. And you just add a little, you can add a little bit of egg to it depending on the how sticky it is. But the leftover dressing and making patties, and then you almost cook them like pancakes. You know, just brown them like you would,
kind of like a latke.
Same thing with potatoes. Make potato pancakes, make dressing pancakes, a little turkey on top of their gravy. Just, you know, cause you've got it. Probably enough for, you know, some days. Send everybody home with some, maybe. That's the best.
Okay, so here's my favorite, and this is something that that your local country kitchen, I grew up with this way back in the day, 30, 40 years ago, it was a turkey hash. I use tater tots for my hash.
Hash is a term they use for pretty much anything diced up. So, yeah, if you dice up your turkey and you add some stuff to it, then you're going to end up with something you can call turkey hash. But anyway, this has been a great discussion of turkey.
Thank you guys for tuning in. And to hear any of our previous shows, look for the Cooking Like a Pro podcast on Apple and Spotify. And let's not forget to make a difference in someone else's day. Take the random out of random acts of kindness. Let's be intentional about helping everybody else.
There you go. Well, God bless you, folks. We will look forward to hearing from you and talking with you a week from today on Wednesday. You have a wonderful weekend. Thanks again for tuning in to Cooking Like a Pro.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.